One of the biggest struggles facing photographers is how to price their business. We can work off numbers and do calculations and markups and so forth, but that doesn't really let us know how much we should be charging. And the fact of the matter is, pricing is not as an inexact science, and many times we need to go through a process of trial and error until we find something that we're really happy with. And when I've been teaching about pricing and noticing a lot about pricing in the photography industry, what I've noticed is there's a fundamental lack of education in the three primary ways that you price your products. And photographers can be successful in pricing their products using each one of these three methods, but so many times we are taught to only funnel into one type of pricing, which is value-based pricing. But there's two other pricing models that might interest you, and you can see the progression from maybe how a newer photographer might want to start pricing one way and then eventually end up pricing another way. So we're going to talk about those fundamental things today on the Focal Points podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an end photo podcast hosted by Dori Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. I'm so glad that you are here today. We are talking today about pricing. Now, I know every photographer listening to this or every small business person who is listening to this has struggled with pricing. How do you price your products? Now, like I said in the introduction, there's a lot of information out there about pricing. What there isn't a lot of information out there about is the three basic pricing models that everybody should be basing their pricing on, and advantages and disadvantages of each. So many times what you have is someone telling you that you should price your business a certain way, but they're not really telling you why you need to be pricing your business this way or your products this way. And what are some of the advantages and disadvantages so that you can make a fully educated choice in how you want to present your prices for your business? So we're going to talk about those things today. There's three basic pricing models that every business uses. And those three are cost plus pricing. There's other names for it, but cost plus pricing, competitive pricing, and value based pricing. Now, all three of these pricing models are great ways that you can price your business, and you can be profitable using each one of these methods. You're not going to hear a lot of people say that, but you can be profitable doing a cost-based pricing model for your business. So when you think about cost-based pricing, this is like the markup model where you have a product to sell and you're going to raise that product price by 20 or 30% to get your final price. And then that difference is your profit, right? We know 20% is not enough to keep a business running. I'm just using that for an example. So the different names that you're going to hear for this, like I said, markup pricing, cost-based pricing, and full cost pricing. All of those are ways that are going to be used to describe this business model, this markup model. It talks about having that base product, raising it by a percentage, like I said. There's advantages and disadvantages to this. First of all, it's a very simple way and a very transparent way to price your products in your business. It's very easy to say, okay, an album costs me $400. I'm going to do two times that. That's going to be my markup. So that album cost is going to be $800. It's very, very basic. It's very, very easy. And it is a way that new photographers can kind of tiptoe their way into pricing things. But understanding that this may not be the best way to price photography services, but it is a start. Another advantage of this is there are guaranteed profit margins. You know, for everything that you sell, you're going to have a profit margin of this amount. Now, keep in mind, profit margins don't mean profit in your pocket. You have a gross pricing margin, and it's very easy to make adjustments. So when you want to raise your prices, and you say, okay, well, my markup was 30% last year. I don't want to make it 35% this year. It's really easy to make those changes, right? So cost plus pricing is an easy, simple way for you to price your business. Now, there are some disadvantages though. And cost plus pricing, it doesn't account for the market demand. It doesn't It doesn't demand for that, or doesn't provide for that ebb and flow where we're busy during the fall and might be slower during the springtime or the winter when we want to adjust our prices accordingly. It doesn't account for sales and specials and that type of thing. It completely ignores competitors' pricing. You do kind of want to know what your competitors charge in your marketplace. Whether you use that as a pricing indicator or not is up to you, but it completely ignores that. You don't care. It is what it is. And it also, you know, I think this is the biggest thing that I see when educators are talking about pricing is completely overlooks value. You bring a certain value. That value is valuable. That's really not the right way to say that, right? But we get it. What we bring to the table is valuable. It's valuable to our clients and they're willing to pay for that. So if you're just using a simple cost plus or markup pricing model, you're going to totally ignore three really, really important things and help you charge more and make more money. And in creative industries, the value of the service may far exceed the actual cost incurred. So for instance, a wedding photographer's unique style or reputation could command a premium price in the market, and cost plus pricing or markup pricing isn't going to capitalize on that. So what are some examples of this markup pricing model? So say you calculate the cost for a 1 hour portrait session, including your prep, your time, your shooting, post-processing, equipment, amateurization, and all of those things. And you say that that worth for a simple portrait session, that comes to a price of $100, and you use a 100% markup, and the price that you would charge your client is $200. I hope everyone listening to this is charging more than $200 for a portrait session. I'm just using really easy numbers because sometimes my math doesn't math that well, and I want to make sure everybody understands what I'm doing, okay? So say you're doing event photography. So for event photography, your photographer will, or you will, tally up the cost of the day, including travel, hours worked, assistant fees, post-processing, editing, and all of that comes to an actual cost of $500. But if you add a 50% markup, the total charge for that event would be $750. Again, I hope no one's doing a full day event for $750. Easy numbers. That's all I'm using here for these examples. So while it can provide a clear basis for pricing in a small photography business, it's essential that you got to balance this strategy with the understanding of your market, client expectations, cost of products, the value of those products. So you're missing a few points if you're using markup pricing. So the next pricing model that I want to talk about is called competitive pricing. Competitive pricing sounds like exactly what it is. You go out and you're completely in line with the market. You survey 10 to 15 photographers in your area and you say, okay, they're all charging between this and this. I'm going to put myself in the middle and charge this. So they're charging $350 for a session. Although someone else is charging $450 for a session. Someone else is charging $250 for a session. You find out where all those things land, and then you kind of put yourself in the middle. I believe this is probably one of the most dangerous ways to price your business, because you never just want to be in the middle, because then everyone who's inquiring, who is a price shopper, is just going to make their decision based on price. They don't see the value that you bring to the table as an artist. They don't see the difference in the kind of images that you're providing, and it's just based on price. And the cheapest photographer is always going to win, but there's no prize for being the cheapest photographer. It's always just, if you are trying to be the cheapest, you are going to ruin your business and you won't be around to be able to be in business much longer at all. So, but there are some advantages of competitive pricing. Not saying that it is a great way to price your business, but there are some things to consider. One is you will be in market alignment, 100%. You will know that you are priced for your market. And that becomes a concern when people are like, oh, how do I know if I'm too expensive for my market? How do I know if I'm not charging enough in my market? If you're using competitive pricing, you're going to know, hey, I'm in alignment with my market. It keeps it easy. Again, I'm all for making decisions, especially around pricing and what you charge your clients. I'm all for making it easy. And another thing that markup pricing doesn't do, but competitive pricing does do, is it allows you to be flexible, because you can raise and lower your prices based on external market changes, which is something that is a huge benefit. I believe that people's pricing needs to be flexible so that when you notice change is in your area, changes in trends, that kind of stuff, you can make those adjustments quickly. Using a markup business model, you may not be able to do that. So what are some examples of competitive pricing for your studio? Well, let's talk about portrait photography. If the going rate in your area for a headshot is $350, a small studio might set a similar price to attract those customers looking for this service because they don't want to be the most expensive or the cheapest option. And like I said earlier, I think sitting in the middle of the road is the most dangerous place to be because it doesn't set you apart. It doesn't take into account the value that you bring. So let's talk about wedding photography. You might survey 10 wedding photographers in your area and realize that they sit between $1,800 and $4,500 for a day of photography. Okay, and you might say, okay, I'm going to sit in the middle. I'm going to price my services at $3,500. I'm right in the middle of the pack and people want to hire me because sometimes not everybody wants to go to the most expensive and not everybody wants to go to the cheapest, right? So that's where I'm going to feel comfortable. And that's great. That's the average in your region. But you could be providing additional value to bulk up the day rate for that specific event. You can add extra hours or free engagement shoots to stand out in the crowd when you're using competitive pricing. So I gave you some advantages, but what are some disadvantages of competitive pricing for small businesses? It doesn't necessarily have to be photography, but we're going to talk about specifically those things today. You might have profit margin pressure. What is profit margin pressure, right? It means that you've matched your competitors' prices, but that doesn't necessarily account for the fact that your business expenses might be different than theirs. You might have different startup costs. You might be using more expensive gear. You might have more expenses when it comes to editing and things of that nature. So if you're just using the factor of pricing yourself in the middle in your area, and you're not counting or accounting for your cost of doing business, you might really be squeezing your profit margin. So we've talked about some of the advantages of competitive pricing, but I think it's really important that we touch on the disadvantages because some of these, I believe, are really, really important if you're choosing to kind of place yourself in the middle of the pack where you do business. One is your business expenses could be dramatically different than the competitors because what people aren't posting on their websites is how much their equipment costs, what their fees are, what their all their expenses are, what they pay for editing, what they pay for equipment, what they pay for marketing, all those different things. And if you're in a situation where you're just trying to match prices, you really could be sacrificing your profit margin. And the idea of being in business is having the largest profit margin possible so that you can, you know, put your kids through college, save for retirement, go on vacation, pay the bills more easily, that type of thing. You never want to be in a position where you don't know what your profit margin is. And if you're only pricing based on the competitors in your area, you are not getting the full picture when it comes to creating that pricing structure for your business. The second disadvantage is that you just become a commodity. People are just going to hire you based on price. They're not going to see the unique artistic value that you bring to the table as a photographer. And we all know people who just hire us based on price. I get inquiries all the time. How much is a headshot? How much is this? How much is this? And their only defining factor in their inquiry is what I cost. And so I really push against that. And I'm not a commodity. This is what I bring to the table. This is how I can help you. And there's really no place for that in competitive pricing models. And the third thing that you want to be aware of is that if you're only pricing based on what your competitors price, you're going to kind of see those prices ebb and flow in your area. And if you're only using that to set how you price, you're going to be put in a reactive state, meaning that you're constantly going to have to shift those prices around so you stay in the middle. And you can't control what your competitors do. You need to be able to say, okay, I'm charging this much. This is why I'm charging this much. And it's not based on what everybody else in my market is doing when it comes to their businesses. Okay, so this is what you hear people talk about all the time in the photography industry. But before we get into that, here is a message from our sponsor, Enphoto. We all have heard the saying that an image is worth a thousand words. And as photographers, we are so lucky that we get to capture the images that tell our client's story. One way to tell their story is through the Enphoto Dreambook 4K. It really is the perfect gift where you get to write their story. It's a premium choice in the Enphoto collection of books. With this almost lay flat design, every page can tell your client's story in a beautiful way. And I've seen these, I actually have some, I've given them to clients, and they're absolutely beautiful books. I absolutely recommend the Dreambook 4K, and it transforms artwork into a beautiful, breathtaking narrative. Now, you get a great discount on this if you're a new client and you want to get a sample. You get a 75% off sample by heading over to focalpointspodcast.com. It's one of the best sample discounts in the industry, and you won't be disappointed. Every client deserves to have their story told in a beautiful, beautiful way. All right, here it is, the third pricing model. This is what everybody teaches pretty much in this industry. And this is why it is so hard for people to wrap their head around how to price their business, because there's so many unknowns where it doesn't really matter. You just have to make a decision where, okay, I want to make this much and provide this service and do it so many times a year, and this is what I'm going to charge. But value-based pricing is basically the strategy where prices are set based on a perceived value of a product or service. It's not based on the cost of production or what competitors are charging. And it can be really effective for photographers, and that's how most photographers do price their services. You know, our work provides value, and specifically emotional value for our clients, and it's artistic in nature, right? And those things are very, very high value, but they don't necessarily directly relate to the cost of production. So the advantages of being a value-based pricing model for your business is the fact that you can have higher pricing margins. By pricing based on value, you can often command those higher prices that you want to charge, especially if you do work that is unique and has that higher emotional value. This can significantly increase profit margins. So you can't tell me that the paint and canvas in the hands of Picasso is any more valuable than the paint and the canvas that I could get at Michael's, right? But what he creates with that and what I would create with that provides a very, very different kind of value. So you need to be able to show your value, and that's hard, right? Especially if you're new. But another advantage of value-based pricing is focusing on the value of it. That's where we want to talk to people's emotions. Some people might consider that being manipulative, but that's not what it is. It's letting people know how they're going to enjoy the artwork that you create for years to come, how it's going to be enjoyed by the family through the generations. That is specifically what brings up the value of what we do. It encourages you to be innovative and encourages you to be creative, but it also allows you to do those things without being confined by the cost. And the third thing is that customers are usually more satisfied when it comes to this type of pricing model. When they feel that the price they're paying is directly related to the value that they perceive that they are getting, they usually are more satisfied with their purchase, and it leads to higher customer loyalty and word of mouth referrals. So you can't tell me that the lipstick that I get from Lancome is any better than the lipstick that I get from L'Oreal. In fact, they're exactly the same. They're made in the same factory. But L'Oreal can sell a lipstick for $12. Lancome can sell a lipstick for $28 or whatever it is. I haven't priced their lipstick in for a long time. But for $28, the packaging is a little bit different, but for the most part, the formulas are the same, the color palette's the same, everything's the same. But through packaging and marketing, Lancome can charge a higher amount versus L'Oreal that is sold at every CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Target across the world, right? There's a bigger perceived value on that Lancome lipstick than that L'Oreal lipstick. So examples of value priced services are, let's go with wedding photography first. Say you have a unique style or you specialize in a specific type of wedding photography, destination weddings, maybe engagements, maybe cultural weddings, for example, and you might use value-based pricing to reflect the unique experiences and memories that you're capturing for your client. So if a photographer is known for your exceptional skill in capturing the essence of an event, they could charge $12,000 base price for the day, versus a competitor might offer $2,500 just because they're there to just take the basic pictures of the day. But if you have a really unique eye, really creative lighting and posing, you can command more for your artistic eye. And let's talk about just portrait photography. We have portrait photography and then we have fine art photography. So if you're selling your services or you're selling your art as fine art, pricing is, first of all, highly subjective. But it's not based on competitors' pricing and it's not based on the cost of services, right? So there is a higher perceived value for something that is fine art, and I'm using my air quotes there, fine art, versus something that you just sell the digital files for. And if you look at some really great fine art photographers, you can see that there's just something different in their imagery and how they sell and market their art that makes it seem much more upscale. Look at the colors that they use, the fonts they use, the type of website design that they have. How do they talk about their products versus how you talk about your products? All of those things go into being able to price higher, especially for value-based pricing models. Now, the disadvantages of value-based pricing are huge. One is it's subjective. Everybody sees different things when they view your art. Everyone doesn't appreciate your unique creative eye. So it can vary greatly between customers. And so that's what makes it challenging setting a price that reflects the value consistently across your market. And here's the trick here. Every photographer values what they do in a different way. I value my time, my energy, and my artistic expression differently than someone down the street. And so putting a price on that, which is what newer photographers, what they often want, is that they want the idea of how much should I charge for my time? Well, it's not that easy because so much of this is subjective. And so what that leads to is many photographers undercharging for their time when it comes to value-based pricing, or undercharging for their services, should I say, because they don't see the value themselves in what they're doing. The subjectivity can become a little warped. The second disadvantage of value-based pricing is understanding your market. You really need to have a deep understanding of your target market and the factors that drive their wish list when it comes to hiring a photographer and becoming a client of yours. You can get some of this, you know, this is the whole idea of that exercise of defining your ideal client, right? Or your ideal client avatar, your ICA. But defining your ICA is an important exercise that I think we all go through, but that doesn't mean that that's what's going to bring your ICA is going to be walking in the door every single time. I've done all those exercises of defining my ICA. I've done the market research. I've done the cost analysis and everything in my business. And all of those exercises are good because they've given me a better understanding of what I should charge and how I want to market my services in my local area. But they don't necessarily help me set my price. And even though I might create my ideal client avatar, I might answer all these questions. The ideal client avatar only walks in the door every so often. You have to understand that. You can do all the research. You can put all these things into place in trying to attract the ideal client, but that's not who you're serving most of the time. So you also have to understand that other people are going to walk in the door too, and they may not be your ideal client, but they're a great client because they chose to hire you. Okay, that was a total tangent, but that's okay. You guys get my point. The third disadvantage of value-based pricing for photography, which is not discussed in the photography industry, is that you can overprice yourself in your market. Remember, just like with houses, the market may suggest to you what to charge in your market for a home, but the only person who actually defines what you should be charging is the client who's going to buy it. So many people have bought this idea that I'm valuable and my art is one of a kind and my marketing is great and all those things, and I should be charging several thousand dollars for a portrait session. And that's great. I don't want to downplay the importance of that, because I do think that photographers as a whole are undervalued. So it's always so refreshing when I see a photographer who's truly, truly valuing what they want. But if you don't have a really good idea of what things cost for your business, the expenses that you need to cover, and the cost of your products, right? What your competitors are charging and what the market will allow in your area, you can overprice yourself in your market. And no one wants to say that because, oh, photographer's work is so valuable. But many people, and specifically people that I have coached, have come to me and say they listened to one person. They said they should be charging thousands of dollars for a session and they have no clients. Why? Because quite honestly, they've overpriced themselves for their market, for the quality of the work, for the marketing that they do, for the perceived value of what they're offering in their business. And they're not going to get any clients unless they do one of two things. Either raise the value of what they're selling or lower the price. There's a happy medium there. So if you have gone through a recent pricing adjustment, recent revamp of your website, marketing, all those types of things, and you're not getting any clients and you're meeting all the people and you seem to be like you're doing everything, it really could be that you have overpriced yourself for your market. And that is not something that is discussed in our industry at all. But keep in mind, you may not overpriced yourself when it comes to profitability. We work in a very expensive industry that the public really doesn't understand. So you might be very expensive in your area, but if you're not covering your expenses, you have to weigh, okay, how can I make this work? Sometimes it's raising value. Sometimes it's advertising to a new area that may not be your home area, but your area outside. Say you live an hour from a big city, maybe you need to start marketing in that big city versus your smaller town that is an hour away. There's a lot of things that you can do, but I do think the overpricing conversation needs to happen more often in our industry, and people need to be more aware of the fact that educators are great. I love them. I am one. And I think it's important for us to encourage people to make as much money as they can in our industry, right? That is our job. That's what we should be doing. But also realize that some photographers or some educators, I believe, have become a little bit out of touch when they're living in very, 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 very high-priced areas. And they're telling someone who is living in rural Ohio that they should be charging thousands of dollars for a session because that is not necessarily realistic for that person. So if you're working with someone or you're diving in your process, very few people can work in very rural situations and charge at the top point of the photography, say $8,000 for a session, for a portrait session or a headshot session. Not a lot of people can do that very successfully. They have to be marketing outside that area. So value-based pricing, I do think, is the way to go, as long as you understand a few things, that you still have to understand your cost of doing business. You still have to understand what people are charging in your area. You still have to have a really, really good idea of what your services are worth, and then you can put together a pricing structure based on that. Knowing these fundamentals when it comes to pricing, I believe, is really important because it can give you a clearer view of how you want to price your business and how you want to set that business up. One thing that I always say is that your business should not be a copycat of someone else's, because that doesn't make you unique. Your business should be unique and special to you. I'm hoping that by explaining these different pricing strategies to you, you can see where you fit, what's most comfortable for you, how you want to price your business. Are you more of like a, hey, I need things cut and dry. You know, the markup pricing structure is where I want to be. Or do you want to dive into value-based pricing, where some of the criteria for pricing is a little bit more subjective, but you feel comfortable doing that? awesome. But I'm hoping by me explaining some of the foundational ideas of these pricing models, you can make a better educated decision of how you want to price your business. Thank you so much for joining me for the Focal Points Podcast. Be sure and check out our website, focalpointspodcast.com, to get access to some other episodes and blog posts and that kind of stuff that can help you in your journey. Thank you to Enphoto for sponsoring this podcast, and we will see you next week. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.